going to talk about for Thanksgiving today. And so it's just going to be very simple. So, like, it'll be profound, but simply profound. Kind of like a peanut butter cookie, you know what I'm saying? It's really, oh, Liz is not on board. It's really good, but it's not really complicated, okay? We're going to talk about praising the Lord. And so I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but if you've read any parenting books lately, some of them definitely take it to the extreme, or business management books, you will find the same principle. They encourage you to not correctively criticize people, but to catch them doing well and affirm them for that. Has anyone heard of this? Okay, so instead of me saying, please do not unwrap your candy wrapper so loud at Bible study. I don't know who that would have been this week. Brad had a candy at Bible study and it had melted a little bit. And so, you know, like the running joke about old church ladies and candy wrappers and how like it just doesn't end. It was literally like five times as bad as any version of that you have heard. And he's trying, and then finally, I think at the end, he just started doing this to make extra sound with it. I don't really know what happened, but. So instead of saying something like that, I would say, you know, Bradley, you have done such a great job creating an environment here in this room with all the work you have done that is so calm and focused with minimal distractions. And I'm so thankful for all the peace that you have brought to this room that we do Bible study in. Thank you for that. Not necessarily in that moment, but later, okay? So the concept is that if you affirm people for what they are doing well, you raise the bar and they will naturally kind of raise the bar themselves. Make sense? What I want to talk to you about this morning is the fact that sometimes we don't come to God and acknowledge the things he's doing really well. We really go to God and we just kind of sometimes go something like this. I can't even believe that you would let this happen to me or her. We've loved you all of our lives. We've been your children since we were like 13 years old. And all of a sudden, all of this suffering happens. What kind of good God would let that happen, right? Is it wrong to ask God those questions? Absolutely not. But sometimes we lose focus on the fact that we need to affirm the good things of God. Not because he needs his ego stroked or he needs to hear them, but sometimes because we need to be reminded of them and we need to focus on them. And the thankfulness isn't as much about him as it is about the state of our hearts that we can acknowledge it or accept it. And it's really a learned practice to be able to, because if I told you to go home this week and catch all the people you love doing good things, it is easy and it is hard all at the same time. Truly. The first one is like, yeah, I got that one. And the first day you might do all right, but the second day, you might realize by the end of the day that you haven't done it. And now you're trying to get it in, right? And then the third day you might forget completely. So on the next day you might wake up with it and all of a sudden you're like, Pastor Trevor, you brushed your teeth really well this morning. Good job. Right? Because you want to make sure you get it in early. Didn't squeeze the tube in the middle. No. So what I want to do this morning is just very, very, very simply look at Psalm 103. So if you want to flip there with me, this is written by David, and David is just praising the Lord. But interestingly, this psalm kind of breaks down into different areas of praise. So what I want to encourage you with this morning is that these are things and areas that you can look at that you will see God's hand at work in your life. You should or you will, whatever way you want to cut that, and working around you. And so maybe you've already seen them, but maybe you didn't realize, like, you can give God praise for that. Have you ever been in a worship service? Sometimes Pastor John Wilder is like, just give praise to the Lord. And all of a sudden you have no voice. What am I praising him for? Maybe it was a really bad week, or maybe we just kind of have a lot of tabs open in our heads. What are we going to praise him for? David is going to help us spell this out. Actually, I think I forgot to animate these slides, so you're going to get to see them all at once. So in verses 1 through 5, I'm going to read it to you. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things that your youth is renewed like eagles? Who does that? Who is like the Lord? And so, personally, we're going to praise God because he forgives all of our sins, past, present, future. He's the one who does that. We're going to praise him because he heals us. Think about a time where God has healed you. How many in this room have experienced, whether through supernatural or through the provision of doctors, a healing touch in your life. That comes from the hand of the Lord. God buys back your life from destruction, from the trap, from decay, and he refreshes it. When you read that verse, who redeemed your life like from the pit? All I could see was Joseph when his brothers threw him in the pit and left him there. And God is saying, hey, it's me. It's me who takes you from the depths of despair and the biggest struggle, and it's me who brings you out of that. And there's no question he's going to do it. Isn't that amazing? He is the one who gets the praise for that. He crowns us with love and compassion. He wraps us in goodness, beauty eternal. It's not about what you possess, but it's about who possesses you. He possesses you. That's amazing. It's beautiful. We get to praise him for that. In him, our youth is renewed. It's interesting because I've noticed my first field ed placement at Bible College was at a senior's home. And we would go in and we would run the services, the midweek services at this retirement home in Peterborough. And we would go up and we would collect the people from the Alzheimer's ward, like the ones who were bad enough that they were in the lockdown unit. And they would get discharged to us, which all of a sudden you would realize this was a huge responsibility. And we would take them down to the service and we would all have worship together with the other people from the retirement home. And then we would escort them back upstairs. And you would realize that somehow the faith of people who have loved the Lord their whole life, it gets more youthful the older that they get. There was more energy in that room worshiping the Lord than there was at youth convention. It had a different currency. It had a different feeling to it. It had a different expression to it. But they recognized that the Lord is the one who renews their youthfulness. And so our bodies may be decaying, but our spirits get to rise up as we understand more so, maybe even how little we know, right? We get to praise him for that. Have you praised God for any of these things lately? They're not big. Some of them a little more than others, but. So David says, you can praise God for any one of these things. Then he says, there are corporate things that we can praise. If you want to start at verse 6, we're going to keep reading. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on all of those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So we have corporate things that we can pray for, that we can praise him for. God loves to help people who are needy. And one of the things that we need to do as his children is help those who are in need, because that's his heart, right? It's one of the reasons that we're going to start collecting for the food bank. It's one of the reasons that there are ministries that exist to help homeless people, to help widows, that you will see Christian foster agencies come up, because it says that God's heart is for the widows and the orphans, right? He loves to help those who are needy. He has had been and will continue to be merciful and patient. I don't know about you, but I need to praise God today that he has been merciful and patient with me. Sometimes I just think, God, you don't know how patient I've been with you. He's just kind of thinking, Stephanie, you don't know how merciful and patient I've been with you. And it's really easy to lose sight of that in the busyness of life. God is not easily angered and doesn't treat us as we deserve. Can anyone give him praise for that today? Yeah. He's not doling out what we deserve. If you spend much time around children, you will realize very quickly that this thing happens where you may hear, you punched him. Well, I punched him because he punched me. Anybody thankful that God doesn't punch us when we punch him? Right? It's true. It's true. He loves us immeasurably beyond perception and has removed our sins to the same extent. Praise him. That is so simple that sometimes we just miss that. His love for you is like from here to beyond the sun away, which I can't even, like, I tried to read some science explanations to explain that to you. I can't. It's just too stupidly crazy. I can't put it into words. And it says, that is how big his love for me is. And equally on the width is how far he throws my sin away from me. If I can't praise him for that, I probably am going to struggle with some of the other ones, aren't I? He moves our sin that far away. Just like a parent, God understands our weakness, and he remembers where we came from. I don't think that David actually wrote that one because God needed to be reminded of that. I don't think any of this was about him. I think it's because we need to remember. We came from dust. We aren't like him, even though we're made in our image. He lasts forever, and we're but a grain of sand. He remembers where we came from, and yet still sees fit to do all the rest. He's so good, isn't he? He deserves praise for that. Our time on earth is short, but God's everlasting love is with those who fear him and keep his covenants and obey his guidelines. We could never earn it. And I praise him today for the fact that I don't have to, because in his everlasting love, he just gives generously to those who follow his commands and live in his love. If you read this in some other translations, all of these praise words that you read in the NIV or the Amplified, they actually translate as blessed. So bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits towards me. And so blessing and praise and thanksgiving, they all go together. If you read these verses that we just read in the message, because these ones are the ones that I think in this chunk of the chapter of Scripture we can kind of make so big that we don't get how simple they really are. Eugene Peterson writes in the message, as parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out and keeps in mind that we're made of mud. Men and women don't live very long. Like wildflowers, they spring up and blossom, but a storm snuffs them out just as quickly, leaving nothing to show they were here. God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all who love him, making everything right for them and their children as they follow his covenant ways and remember to do whatever he says. Isn't that beautiful? He remembers that we're made of mud. David finishes the chapter and he calls everybody and everything to praise. Actually, I'll read it to you first. He says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We're going to praise him because he is the king over all. He gets praise for that. Even the angels are going to praise him. Everything in the heavenly realm must praise the Lord. That's not just us. It's bigger than us. All of his works should praise him. No location in all of his dominion, which is everything, no location excludes you from praising him. Anything that he has created must praise him. So is there anyone in this room that doesn't have to praise him? No. From the youngest to the oldest, we praise the Lord. And when we don't remember what to praise him for, because there's other things, right? We can praise him because he's provided for our needs. We can praise him because he's created friendships among us that encourage us and strengthen us and raise us up when we're struggling and even when we're not. There's a lot of things we can praise him for that aren't here. But in our struggle, David has laid out a list of things that we can so easily, at the bare minimum, say, God, we just praise you for this. We are thankful that you created us. We are thankful that you are a father who loves us. We're thankful that we get to worship you with all of creation, with all the heavenly beings. Think about that for a minute. When we step into worship this morning, we are worshiping with heavenly beings. And so when we struggle to think about what to praise him for, because I don't know about you, but some days the list does not feel very long, I would encourage you to come back to this chapter in Scripture and just pick a couple things that jump out at you and meditate on them and sit in them and praise him for them. Now, what does that look like? Because David says, when he wraps it up, he says, I must praise the Lord. I must. There's not a question. You must praise the Lord. Now, does it have to be with a song? I would argue scripturally that worship is a component of praise, and you cannot slice that out of there in some way, shape, or form. But David's praise here was written. You can write your praise. That's pretty cool. You could pray your praise. But you get to praise the Lord in the way that works for you. So this morning, I'm very aware that a lot of our expressions of praise in a church context, they're demonstrative, right? They're verbal and vocal and they're out loud. And how many of us are not that kind of person? Okay, so we're going to do something really simple this morning. And we're going to take about 5 minutes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you, I didn't get them cut out, my apologies. You're going to get a leaf. Because it's Thanksgiving, so a leaf seemed fitting. I didn't think a turkey was fitting. I don't know why. You're going to get a leaf. And anywhere on this paper, I want you to write your list today of what you are going to praise the Lord for. You don't need to tell anybody else what you put on this paper. This is between you and the Lord. You're just going to write them somewhere on the paper, okay? And then when we're done, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with them. It can be as many as you want or as few as they are. If you are struggling with the list today, look at this chapter in Psalms while we sit quietly and pick the ones out of there that you can say, you know what, I might not be feeling it, but I know it's true, and so I can praise you for this. If there's something we haven't talked about, then you can do that, okay? So I'm going to ask, maybe, Leanne, if you could give a pen to anyone who needs one. Brad, do you have some music back there that you could put on for us while we do this? Tim, would you mind if you do this side? We'll meet. Leanne's got some pens she's going to hand out. Because I don't know about you, but when I think about Thanksgiving and all the things I'm thankful for, I think about doing it in community. Does that make sense? And we're going to have communion this morning. And I feel like there are so few of us that we can do that together a little differently as a family. Is that okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask if we can all bring our leaves up to the front with our list of things we're thankful for, and we're just going to leave them on the altar. We're just going to set them down, and we're just going to let them be an act of worship and praise in that way that honors the quiet among us and the more outgoing among us. And then we're going to stand as a family up here together, and we're going to hand out communion. And just as a family, we're going to take it together up at the front together, okay?